Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 21. Let's go back there and let's pick up on verse 8, and we'll take a few more verses today. We'll go down through about verse 21 today. You remember last week, Sarah, the Lord visited Sarah, and she conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and we talked about that. Now in verse 8 it says, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because of it he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." Let's go on and read a few more here. "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." All right, let's stop there now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the songs. Thank you for this scripture. Pray you'd help us now to glean from it instruction for our life and understanding in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's not a real pleasant story, is it? I mean, here we are in Abraham and Sarah, the high point in their life. Think about it. If this is not the highest point in their life, I believe it probably is. Isaac's born. I mean, after all this time, their dreams are finally realized. And all that patient enduring and waiting is rewarded. And they've got their son that they've waited on so long. And they're rejoicing. I mean, the day that Isaac was weaned, which shows you that they didn't do it in a long process, they said, that's it, it's over, you're weaned today. So, yeah. They didn't slowly, you know, they try to wean you off of this and wean you off of that, and everybody tries to wean themselves off of things. Well, Isaac got weaned that very day he was weaned, and so it's over. So Abraham made a big feast, a great feast. You know why they did that, don't you? When do we make great feasts? To celebrate. It's something special. It's something to celebrate, to call everybody together and rejoice with me. Because of the wonderful thing that's happened in my life. You celebrate at a wedding. Everybody celebrates when a child's born. They do. We celebrate over a lot lesser things. But this is a big celebration. I mean, this is a high point in their life. I want you to get that. This is the high point in their life. When there's victory and when there's hope, they're long wandering away from their homeland. I mean, living as strangers for a long lifetime. 100 years old. Isaac's weaned here. He's 2, 3, maybe 3 years old at this time. So Abraham's 102 or 3 years old. Been wandering all these years. And it's finally been turned into victory and rejoicing. I mean, they've got what God promised them 30 some years ago. They've got it. I mean, you just can't, we can't hardly get around our minds around that this morning as we sit and think about it, but it's a high point of their life. All the scorn and the reproach and the humiliation of being barren and childless is now forever removed. And it's replaced with wonder and awe at the miracle God has given them. And in the last part of this chapter, we're going to see about Abimelech and how he came to Abraham and said, it's obvious that God is with you. And I want to make a covenant with you. Promise me some things. I mean, it raised Abraham's and Sarah's standing among everybody else greatly because they had a son in their old age. God did something special for them. And when don't you know that Abraham told them, God promised me this 30 years ago. He told me this was going to happen. That made an impression on people. I mean, all the reproach and all the humiliation and everything, all the just the sadness and the grief of being barren was taken away. You see? Life had picked up for them greatly. And all that has been such a burden to bear is behind them now. And the future's bright with hope and promise. With this son God's given them in their old age, don't you know they had dreams now, for sure? Looking at Isaac and thinking about God's given us all this land and it's His. Think. I mean, don't you know they were full of joy and hope and looking to the future? Kind of like when you're young. And the whole world's before you and nothing's impossible. And after this has happened, don't you know that's the way they felt? I mean, it's, you know, people when they get old, the older we get, the more we get to where we just don't want to try nothing anymore. We just get tired of failing and tired of trying and tired of it. And we get weary and we just kind of lose the vision as you get older. But when you're young, you're full of it. Well, I'm telling you, I believe they were full of it now because, boy, God done something for them. Something special. But they can't look forward now without seeing problems because of the things from their past. I want you to understand what this is all about here this morning. Get a real picture in your mind of what the situation is here with them and what it's like. Here it is, the highest point of their life. The best, I mean, what should have been the absolute victory over it all. And here's this blackness and this grief and this bitterness right in the middle of it, just tearing it all to pieces. See? Ishmael is mocking. They're celebrating. Everybody's there and they're having a great feast and they're celebrating. And Sarah looks over and here's Ishmael mocking and laughing and scorning. How would you take that? I mean, think how Sarah had to feel about that boy anyway. And his mother. You know, he's mocking. And that's a sure sign of big problems ahead for their family, don't you see? Everything's not well. Everything's not well. It's not all at peace. Here's the one side where all the victory and the joy and the reward of all their faith is. It's happened and it's wonderful. But on the other hand, here's all this junk from their stumbling and their sin and their foolishness of the past. All of its rewards are right there. Right in the midst of it. Just raising a stink right in the midst of their joy. Well, it appears that Sarah sees it before Abraham does. Now, it might be that he sees it, but he just don't know what to do to fix it. But she sees that this ain't going to work no longer. We're not going to live the rest of our lives, and we can't go on living the rest of our lives, and this, and what God's promised us can't be with this in the middle of everything. You know, there was more than just his mocking at this time. We've got a whole record we could go back to from before. Hagar didn't behave herself very well either. God sent her back, remember? She fled. And God sent her back and said, you go back and submit yourself under the hand of your mistress. That's what you need to do. And so she did. But it wasn't well. I'm telling you, you know, you can just criticize and you can just be so spiritual and say that, well, Sarah should have just swallowed the bitterness and just went on. Yeah, sure. I'm telling you that you can do some things in your life that you can't accept. You can't. Now how can she accept this other woman in her life, in her marriage? No, it doesn't work. You know, it's not going to be long if we keep going the way we're going. And, you know, they can't keep making polygamy illegal. How in the world could they possibly make sodomy legal and polygamy illegal? How could they make sodomy legal and make anything illegal? Where's their moral authority? What kind of moral authority do they have to say this is okay, but that's not? So it's coming. I mean, it's already here. Do you see, and I've been seeing in the news for several months here, there's some guy down there in Tennessee, he's got 20-some kids by 7 different women. It's costing the state, I think, $7,000-something a month to take care of them. And, you know, it never works. You can't have multiple intimacies in your life and not have grief and trouble with it. Did you hear me? So, Sarah seen it. Abraham may have seen it. Sarah mentioned it though. Sarah brought it out and said, this ain't gonna go. You're gonna have to get rid of her. She's got to go and that boy. Well, Abraham's got a very different feelings toward that boy than Sarah does. The boy's his own flesh and blood. It's his son. It's not her son, but it's his son. Makes a big difference. I don't care what you say. Makes a big difference. And especially in situations like this. You know, the bitterness is it was her idea to start with. And she tried to blame it on him, but it was her idea to start with. He shouldn't have done it. She shouldn't have suggested it. Hagar shouldn't have been in their home in the first place. Everything's wrong about the whole situation. But you just keep going and you keep going and you keep going and there's going to be consequences down the road. There's a whole lot we can learn from this here. To Sarah, he's a reminder of her weakness and her sin and the stain on the relationship between Abraham and herself. She could not have had positive feelings toward him or his mother. Do you ever think about Abraham and Sarah? Here's Hagar in their home. Where was Hagar when Sarah got taken off with Abimelech? I mean, it's a real complicated situation here. Things are real messed up in their homes. Abraham, yeah! If Abraham did it, then it's okay, I guess, for us to do it. If Abraham can do it, why can't I do it? You better read the whole story here and see what they paid for it. I get so sick of people justifying their sin because somebody in the Bible did it. Like God put that in there so that you would know that it's okay for you to do it too. What a foolish thing to say. God put these things in here so you can see the consequences of it, so you'll know better than to do it. The behavior of Hagar and Ishmael toward Sarah was not what it needed to be for things to work. I mean, it's impossible in the first place. And then when you got hateful and spite and envy and despite for somebody, that ain't gonna work. You can't live with people that way. So there was just a natural enmity between them that couldn't be reconciled, couldn't be fixed. Don't you see that? You know, well, you ought to forgive. Well, there's just things that's impossible in this kind of situation. You're talking about a marriage. You're talking about a home. And you're talking about Abraham and Sarah and their marriage, their son, the one God had promised everything through. So because of the two major blunders they made years ago, now they have this black stain on the very highest moment of their lives. You ought to ponder that, and you ought to think about that. What is your greatest hopes in life? What is your dreams? What is your greatest dream of happiness in your life? Well, just think about it. Just think about getting there one day and having this kind of garbage vomited up right in the middle of it. Better watch how you walk now. Because that's when it starts. That's when the seed gets planted. That's when it starts bringing forth its fruit. And it'll come to fruition right in the middle of the place where you don't want it to the most. It's all grief. It's a grief to all of them. Who's happy now? Is Abraham happy as he watches his son walk off into the desert? Is Hagar happy? Is Ishmael happy? Is Sarah happy? Nobody's happy. Everybody's grieved. Everybody is hurt. Everybody's got things now in their heart that just spoils everything. There's that hurt and aching and grief that's just under the surface all the time. Now let's go back to the feast. Yeah, let's celebrate now. Does Abraham feel like celebrating now? Reckon Sarah feels like celebrating now? Reckon everybody that's there with him feels like celebrating now? Wonder how many took Hagar's part and how many took Ishmael's part. How many took, you know, boy, that just ain't fair. That ain't right. He made them leave. He run them off. Told them they weren't welcome anymore in their own home, not to come back. God told him to. But that don't make any difference to people. People are their own judges of what's right and wrong. People are their own gods. They make up their own minds about what they think's right and wrong, what looks right to them. And you can bet your boots that a bunch of people didn't agree with it and they thought it was unfair and not right to do that way. You want to know why in the world that those Arabs over there now, the descendants of Ishmael, have such a hatred toward the descendants of Isaac? Do you ever wonder why? Yes, right there. Started right there. And after all these generations and generations and thousands of years of it, that's, look over there now, that's what we got. Abraham's full of grief. Sarah's full of resentment and can't abide the presence of Hagar and Ishmael any longer. Hagar's put out after being brought into the family in such a familiar way. And Ishmael's full of envy and bitterness. And the family is split down the middle and beyond reconciliation. And it will be forever a grief to all of them. The hurt and the pain does not go away because Hagar and Ishmael go away. That takes care of some issues, but it doesn't take care of the problems. How often did Abraham think about Ishmael after he was gone? I wonder about, he was his son. He lived in his house until he was, he would have been 14, 15 years old. Oh, no. He'd have been older than that. Yeah, he would have been 14, 15 years old, something like that. 15, 16 maybe. Calls him a lad. Called him a child. But he had to be at least that old. I mean, he'd been with Abraham until he was almost a man. And then, out. You gotta go. You just can't stay here no more. I've got another son. He's the one that's going to get everything. He's the one that's my heir, not you. Yeah. Well, God agrees with Sarah. And God comes to Abraham and said, whatever what Sarah has said, do it. You got to do it, Abraham. She's right. This it can't be this way. God agrees that it can't work with them all living together under the same roof, one big happy family. Can't work. I mean, they've tried to make it work all these years, but it ain't going to work. And so God says to Abraham, He said, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, which the Bible said earlier was his wife, that she might become his wife. And God says, don't let it be grievous unto you. If you study those words, what it means is that God just meant for... God was explaining to Abraham that it'll be better this way. You've got to just see that it's going to be better this way. Not going to be too good, but it'll be better this way. With their attitude and with the situation the way it is, see, you just can't... How many times have I told y'all that you just can't fix sin? When you sin, there's going to be consequences. Now, you can be forgiven of the sin, and you can make restitution as much as you can, but there's some consequences of sin that cannot be undone by God Himself. And this is what it is, right? This is some of them right here. They've made this mess by crossing the lines of immorality, sexual immorality. It always comes back down to this thing between men and women, doesn't it? This relationship between men and women. They just can't, the world has went bonkers nowadays because they've set that over in one area and say, anything goes there and we can still be moral and everything without, and just let that go. Take all the, just untie all the strings there and do anything you want. And it's not immoral. But now you ain't supposed to lie and you ain't supposed to steal and you ain't supposed to murder people and you ain't supposed to be violent. You're supposed to be nice to everybody. No, 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 no. Don't work. That issue is the key to all sin. When you take the strings off of that, the moral boundaries off of it, everything falls. That's why we get to violence. Violence and all the chaos of our society, you can trace it right back to that. Yes, you can. And you can go to any society, any civilization in history, and you can do the same thing. That's where the moral avalanche starts, with that issue. When fornication becomes tolerable, when adultery becomes acceptable, when you take the punishments away, when you take the reproach of it away, when you take the immorality and the negative association with it all away, then there's just a moral avalanche. Yes. And it's easy to see why. Look what we've got here now. We don't have sexual sin involved in this situation. We've got a bunch of bitterness and grief and broken hearts and ruined lives because of that sexual sin back there. Yep. So, let me get back on track here. We need to learn from Abraham and Sarah that relationships need to be kept pure and exclusive. And you know, this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. This was Abraham's regret. I guarantee you. We need to understand when we're young. Are y'all listening to me? You need to understand when you're young that every relationship you're involved in becomes a part of your life forever. You need to understand that. You can't just fool around and mess around and play around, and you better not buy into this world's dating game and play the field trying out different people. I'm telling you, that's a lie of the devil, and that kind of behavior will not make you wiser about marriage and about the opposite sex. You won't learn all about the boys, and you won't learn all about the girls by just dating one and another and another and another and this tasting of everything. You better not do that. That is not God's way. And if you want to get in big trouble, just do it. And I can promise you that I can look at your life down the road and it's going to be full of grief and heartache and trouble. In reality, it'll confuse you more and more. And it'll leave a bunch of garbage in your life that'll follow you the rest of your life. And it'll come vomiting up right in the middle of your moments of joy down the road. I promise you. You can't do that. Relationships that reach the point of sexual involvement with anybody but the person that you're married to are the absolute destruction of your life. It ain't no light matter. It ain't like other sins. It carries much more weight. It has much more effect than you can possibly imagine. Sarah was Abraham's wife. And if they had kept their relationship pure and exclusive, they wouldn't have had this grief and this heartache and this bitterness now. But all this is caused by 5 minutes. Of foolishness. It works much the same way when you breach that sacred area before you're married, too. God calls it fornication, and He says you're sinning against your own body when you do that. Y'all listening to me? He said every sin that a man commits, he commits without the body, but if a person that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. There's some big things meant by that. More than I can explain to you, but I can just tell you this, you won't forget it. And its effects won't go away. And they'll get worse and worse and heavier as life goes on. And you think you're just having a fun time and you think you're just being accepted and popular and you think you're just doing oh yeah. But you don't know what the consequences you're going to feel down the road. The world is a bunch of liars and the devil is a liar. They're not telling you the truth. They're not portraying the truth about it. Just listen to them old country music singers. What do they sing about most? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Yep, that's pretty well sums it up. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Remember Hee-Haw? They were making fun of their country music, but boy, they hit it right on the nose, didn't they? That's what they sang about because that's what they're full of because of their sin. This sin. Nobody's gonna ignore God's law and God's warnings about this matter and then live their life without problems because of it. You're not gonna get away with it. I mean, it's just set in stone. It's set in human nature. This is the way it works. God gave this thing as one of the greatest blessings for man. But it's to be in marriage. One man, one woman, one life. That's the plan. Now that's God's plan. And nobody's going to ignore it without having problems because of it. And it's far different than other sins. It can't just be swept under the rug and kept there. Its poisonous effects will just keep bubbling out on you throughout the rest of your life. And anybody that's experienced this would say, "Amen, Brother Mike, you're telling the exact truth. That is how it is." If Abraham could have gone back and started over, I guarantee you that he certainly wouldn't have went to bed with Hagar. Right? I know I'm speaking plain, but that's the only way people will listen. There's a bunch sitting right here in this little crowd this morning. I imagine everybody that's got any years on them at all would say the same thing. Boy, if I could go back in my life and start over from that point right there, I guarantee you there's some things that I would not do. And I guarantee you that's the way it was with Sarah and with Abraham and with Hagar. Of course, she was a servant and she was really, you know, because of her situation, you gotta pity her. What could she do? They owned her. That makes it worse. Because she really didn't have much of a choice in the matter. Furthermore, he probably would have never brought her into his household. Where'd she come from? Egypt. That little trip down there in Egypt. When they was going there because of the famine in the land, they went down there to get some stuff and sojourn and just survive a while and get on their feet. And you know, he left Egypt rich. Remember, Pharaoh took Sarah, and when he brought her back, why, he gave Abraham men servants and maid servants, Hagar. That's when Hagar came into their home. Let me tell you something. Any couple that brings another person into their home that's of age is doing a very foolish thing and putting their whole lives in great jeopardy. And you better listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. Ain't got no business having somebody else in your home, man or woman, that's of age. You're living mighty dangerous. Oh, my wife would never. Oh, my husband would never. Yeah. How many do you think have said that in the past? All of them. All of them. Without exception. Nobody ever brought anybody into their house and said, I'll bet you a dollar this is what's going to happen. No, they knew their wife. They knew their husband. They were never going to happen. Foolish people. If Abraham could have went back, if he could have had a choice of when to back the clock up to, I guarantee you it would have been before they ever brought her into their home.
That's right.
Sarah was very fair to look upon. I mean, she must have been exceedingly fair to look upon because of the problem he had of men taking her away from him everywhere he went. Well, do you think Hagar was ugly? No. No. He had men servants and maid servants. Why was it her? I mean, it probably wasn't so much because of her attitude, because her attitude doesn't look like it was that great. Just dangerous. I mean, you young people are in great danger, but you're going to be all through your life. Even when you get married, you're in danger. Don't get married and then just relax and say, well, I'm okay, I'm married now. No, no, you better not. Abraham and Sarah were married when this mess started. Been married for years and years and years and years when this started. This is an area of your life that you have to guard all of your life. And there's forgiveness from God. And life can go on. Yes. You know, people, when you start like this, you know, let me just do the way I got it here. I don't want to get out of order here. But, you know, there is forgiveness from God and life can go on. Abraham and Sarah went on. Yep, they did. And the plan of God proceeded. And life goes on, but not without pain and regret and bitterness in your soul. Why do you want that? Why do you want to take a chance on having that in the midst of all your joy? Why don't you want to grow old with a clean heart and a clean life and a clean home and not have this rot in it? Why? You don't think you're going to play with it and not get burnt, do you? You don't think you're going to break the rules and hedge the lines and you're going to be okay? You're a fool if you think that way. You're an absolute fool! You ain't no smarter than anybody else. You ain't no more quick than anybody else. Abraham wasn't no fool. He wasn't no dummy. He didn't have his head in the sand. Look what happened. We've got a lot of examples in the Word of God that there is forgiveness for this kind of stuff. Mary Magdalene, the first one at the tomb. The one that washed Jesus' feet with her hair and wiped it with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And Jesus said, to whom he forgave much, that's who loveth much. Yeah. There's forgiveness. Ain't that wonderful? Yeah, that's wonderful. But could you look in her heart? Could you see how much she hated her past? If you could see what and feel the grief that accompanies the joy, boy, it would make you shudder. Mary Magdalene, the woman of Samaria at the well there. Well, he said, go get your husband. Jesus. I mean, he just cut to the chase, didn't he? Oh, we worship my father, we worship now. That, you know, she all want to talk religion, religion. And he said, just go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, I know you don't. You had five already, and the one you're living with is not your husband. Messed up woman. A messed up life. But Jesus saved her soul. And she went back to town and said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I done. Well, that made all the men very nervous in town. Yeah. And they believed him because of his word, not because of hers, the Bible says. See, it carries a lot of things with it. She got saved, but evidently, you know, they didn't put much stock by what she said. They did go hear him, but they believed him because of what he said, not because of what she said about him. David, the king. You want to talk about him? You want to talk about what he did? He was married. So was Bathsheba. And they ventured off into that territory and crossed the line. Now, you want to talk about what happened after that? Oh, I'm sure that was thrilling. I'm sure she was very fair to look upon. I'm sure she was excited because it was the king. I'm sure, boy, that was something. But it only lasted a few minutes. And then the trouble starts. And David went to his grave with a broken heart and grief in his soul. Because of what he'd done. I mean, he brought the sword upon his own house. It wasn't worth it. He had everything going for him. I mean, at the peak of his life, he's the king. After all this waiting, that sound familiar? After all this running, wandering, does that sound familiar? After all this time of waiting and trusting God and being persecuted and chased, and now he's the king. And that's how that chapter starts out. When David perceived that God had made him king over all Israel. And then at the time that kings go out to battle, David tarried still at Jerusalem. And that's when it happened. Right at the peak of everything. So it's not worth it. Now, we can rejoice in their redemption and their forgiveness, and we need to see their grieving hearts and the trouble in their lives also. Anybody look at David and say, you know, I've known of adulterous preachers say that they defend themselves and their sin because David did it. What a fool. What a blind, foolish, with no understanding person that could say that. That's the only way. That God did forgive David. Nathan came to him, remember? And said, "Thou art the man." And David said, "I've sinned against the Lord." And Nathan immediately said, "God has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." So he got forgiven. I mean, he did get right with God. And God forgave his sin. And Bathsheba became his wife. And he comforted her. Because her husband was dead, remember? Murdered. So God pieced it together the best that could be done. With all the pieces that are left, God fixed it. But you can't take away all the rot and all the grief and all the trouble and all the consequences of it. You can't. God Almighty can't take them away. I'm telling you this because here's a bunch of young people here this morning, you kids and you kids, and it goes for all the rest of us too, because you can be 70 years old and make a mess of your life with this deal here. But when you're young, you got a clean slate. When you're young, you haven't fouled your life. You haven't put these things in here that's going to be baggage for you down the road. Wait. Keep yourself pure. Do this thing right. I just got a few more other things here I want to say, and then we'll get on with it. But, you know, people who've been through this kind of trouble in their lives ought to be the first ones to say amen to the preacher when he's saying that. You know, you got young people here, and I'm telling them, don't do this. Don't mess up your life. Don't get involved and then have it all wreck. I mean, be careful and pray and seek God's will and do it God's way. And if your life has this trouble in it, then you ought to be the one to say, "Kid, you better listen. He's telling you right. I know he's telling you right because I've got grief in my soul because of the various thing he's talking about. Do it right." But a lot of times people will jump up and defend themselves and, you know, "I just told you there's forgiveness." Yes, but I'm just telling you there's trouble from it, and everybody knows that. You just can't do this. You can't just mix this thing up. God's meant for it to be one way. And when we mess it up, if any man sin, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. There's a way to be forgiven. But there's going to be bad things in your life because of it, no matter what you do. I'm just telling you this morning, and what I'm trying to get to you from Abraham and Sarah's life here is keep it right from the start, and you can minimize all this grief and sorrow and regret later on in your life. They didn't need this. They could have got to this point without this. Without having to send her away and his son, and without this bitterness and this thing between him and Sarah. I mean, you know, he could understand how she felt and how she couldn't deal with it. But it's his son. I mean, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the relationship. Ain't no way that it can't. You should keep your heart. You should keep your heart and mind pure as well as your body. I've tried to tell my kids that all through the years. It's not just your body that you keep pure. It's your mind and your heart too. You go giving your heart to some boy. You go giving your heart to some girl. And it's just about as bad as giving your body to them. Because you're giving them something that's supposed to be for one only. Hold it. Don't give them your heart. Wait. You can get to know somebody without doing that. You can withhold that until it's okay. You should involvement in relationships that are heading in the direction of marriage and sexual union are damaging and can be poisonous in themselves, even if you don't go that far. You understand what I'm saying? You start this boyfriend-girlfriend stuff and you get all involved. That's what it's about. That's the direction it's going. Now, most of them today don't want to think about marriage, but they are thinking about that other. Guarantee you they are. And that's the goal, that's the goal, that's what they're thinking about. They're both thinking about it. And you get all involved in a relationship like that, and then it doesn't, and then it gets so far involved, and then it blows up, then you've got problems in your heart and in your soul. And you're not going to lose them. You're not going to forget them. I mean, you're going to get out on the road someday and you may, you're going to find your husband, your wife, whoever it is, whichever way it is, and you're going to get married, but you're going to remember that. That's always going to be a part of you. And you think it's nothing now, but you won't think it's nothing then. It's going to cause your mate problems because you'll always compare and associate. It'll be an interference in ways that you can't even imagine. When they end after you've invested your heart in someone, it can damage your heart and leave scars that your future mate will have to grieve over as well. And although Sarah and Abraham were married, when they brought this junk into their relationship, you can do things before you're married that'll have the same effect on your relationship to your wife or husband in the future. Are you listening to me? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? They did it when they were married. You can do it before you're married and it'll have the same effect on your marriage as it had on theirs. Man, it's important. It's just important. And I know nobody in the world believes it anymore and nobody agrees with it, and the world's just, they just turn, everybody's just like animals anymore. You just mate like animals. And that's it. And they think it's okay. But that's why the world is filled with violence. Don't you understand? It causes such frustration, such grief, such regret, such... It ruins your self-esteem, if you will. You hate yourself. You defile yourself and you look at yourself as dirty. I don't care what you say. You can hold your head up and say, I'm proud of what I did. You ain't either. And it makes you crazy. It'll drive you out of your mind. When you have wasted your life and you've thrown away, that's why people just throw it all to the wind. You see these old haggard looking women. We seen one up there this week. We went to the hospital. Poor old woman had her hip. They took her hip out and put some kind of a spacer, she said, in there. They had to get one that had fit her or something. I don't know why they did that. I never heard them doing that. But anyway, you can tell by looking at her what kind of life she's lived. I mean, it shows on your countenance and in your voice. I look at people like that, and I just look at them, and I just picture in my mind what they were as a little girl. And then what sin has done to them. And what do you mean sin? This! This is where it starts! Yes, it is! I guarantee that was not where the first transgression that took her down the road of life she was on, it wasn't all those other things. That's where it started. So take this matter of relationships very, very seriously and don't trifle with it. I mean, don't act like it's a game, like the world portrays it to be. A game. You girls listening to me? I sure hope and pray that you don't listen to the world and its counsel on this dating business and how you boyfriends. Now, it makes me sick hearing these little old bitty girls talking about their boyfriends. It makes me angry when somebody asks this little old 12, 13 year old girl, you got a boyfriend? What's the matter with you? Yeah. An adult that ought to have some sense and wisdom about their life. What are they doing thinking? Why are they? That kind of explains one reason why we're in the shape we're in, don't it? Even the old people are supposed to be wise and supposed to be guiding these children. That's what they got on their mind all the time. Playing this sex game. Little girls, I mean to tell you now, 6, 7 years old, that's all they got on their mind. When they ought to be playing with baby dolls and playing house and mommy and learning how to cook and do things like that and wearing pretty dresses and sewing, learning how to do all of that stuff. And they're all caught up in people like Miley Cyrus, such a filthy, foul soul. No Don't act like it's a game. And they're not telling you or showing you the whole truth. I guarantee you. We talk about liquor and how they lie about that and how they portray it. We talk about smoking and all the sins of the world like that and how they portray it so appealing and it's so wonderful and all that, and they don't show you the end of the story. Well, it's the same with this too. I want you to know. They paint it up as it's just fun and games and thrilling and that's, you can do it and there are no consequences and it's just anybody anytime that's okay. No, you won't think about it later on. And no, yes you will. They got these wicked things going on now, these dating services, even for married people. That Ashley Madison, I read about that in the news several years ago. There is a big dating agency, and now they've got millions of people signed up on it, but it's for married people. If you want to cheat on your wife or your husband, well, they'll hook you up with somebody. They got somebody they know that's married, and they don't want a divorce, but they just want to mess around. They'll hook you up with them. And they promote, they say it'll make your marriage better. It's good for your marriage. It'll make you happy. They do, they say that. And stupid, foolish people believe it because of their wicked heart and their lust. And then they go off and do it, and I guarantee you, boy, if we could find some of them who've done it and show them to you and show you, open their heart up and show you what's in there. Oh. I mean, we're looking at Abraham and Sarah. The Abraham, the father of us all. The father of the faithful. One of the most important men in the Bible. God's friend, Abraham. And look what we got here. And you think you can just go tripping through life just to snatching a little here and there of what you want out of life, fun, and listening, and you're going to be okay? No way. You better count on it. It ain't going to happen that way. I don't want to see you grieving and weeping and crying down the road because of your foolish choices. I want you to be happy. I want you to have a life that's blessed of God. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Now, do you want the blessing of the Lord, or you want some of the devil's stuff too? Because you get that, and this is what you're going to get. A bunch of grief and heartache and pain in your heart. I mean, you can't get involved this way with someone and then just exit the situation with no consequences. She walked off with that boy and the skin on her shoulder, I mean the bag with the water in it, a bottle of water. She walked off and disappeared. But boy, the pain didn't disappear. The regret didn't disappear. It didn't make it as if she had never been there. No, 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 no. The consequences are broken hearts and grief and pain and regret that hurts more than being cut to pieces with a knife. You got to make up your mind while you're young that you're going to keep yourself pure. Not only in body, but in mind and in heart also. I hope you can understand that, you children and you young people. I hope you can understand that. Do you understand that, what I'm talking about? There's some things you have to give to one person in your life. Boys and girls. It's not just a girl's thing. This is both ways. Boys are just as responsible to keep themselves pure in body and mind as the girl is. In fact, boy, listen, it's most important that he does. Yes. If he comes into the marriage with a filthy mind and a defiled body, what if she's kept herself pure? I know some women who will tell you they kept themselves pure until they were married under the promise that God would bless their marriage if they would just do that. But they married a vile character who wasn't pure. And it didn't work. And now their heart and their life is all full of grief and confusion and misery. So you both better determine to keep yourself pure. In body, yes. But that's not all. It's not just your body you have to give to another. It's your mind and your heart. A heart that nobody else has ever had. A mind that's never been all infatuated with somebody else. That's what you need to do. That's the right way. So, well, I've already done it. Well, it's just what I've told you. What have I told you? There's forgiveness, isn't there? Isn't there forgiveness with the Lord? Sure there is. If you've done it, then you ought to know not to do it again. At some point you got to say, that's wrong. And I've already done it, but I'm not going to do it again. Don't that make sense to you? Stop. You got to make up your mind that you're going to give your heart only to the one you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And in order to do that, now I'm about done here. So are you listening to me? Listen real good to this. If you're going to do that, then you're going to have to trust God. And you're going to have to trust His Word, this book, and what it tells you. And you're going to have to trust in the counsel of godly people that God has put into your life. Because listen to me, if you try to figure it out yourself, your way, you are most certainly going to make a wreck of it. Do you hear me? You girls and you boys, if you just say, I'll just decide for myself what I want. My dad and mama ain't going to have a word in it. Oh, you're foolish. You are absolutely certain to mess it up. If you refuse the counsel of your parents, you ain't listening to the counsel of God. You ain't fooling me, that's for sure. Don't tell me, well, I'm following God's counsel, but I ain't listening to my parents. Part of God's counsel is to listen to your parents. Now, I'm not saying I've never picked out any mates for my children, and I never will. That's not the way it works. But I ought to have a say in it. And my cautions ought to carry a lot of weight with you, my children. Yes. And my grandchildren. You and your parents. And me. That's right. Some boy come around eyeballing you, Anna. And if I'm going to be watching. Yes. And he better be up to snuff. I mean, he better... I mean, we ain't looking for a perfect, and we ain't going to cull everybody, but let me tell you something. When you get as old as I am, as old as Dad is, and the rest of us around here, you can just spot some things right on right out of the get-go. And you girls can't. And you young boys can't either. Same way with a girl. Boy, listen, you learn some things about life. And you learn to spot some things. And it's cautions and carefulness. And you got to listen. Because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's what the Bible said. Whatever you think, when you make up your mind to do something, you're going to figure out that it's the right thing to do. Everybody that ever made the biggest mistake they ever made in their life, before they did it, they figured it out in their mind that this is the right thing for me to do. People don't stand at an altar and hold each other's hands and vow before God and all these witnesses to live together in sickness and in health and death, blah, 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 until death do its part. They don't do that and gaze into each other's eyes and kiss each other when it's over thinking, this ain't going to last. No, they always think, boy, this is forever. And then 2 years later, they're divorced. And fighting and hating each other. You need help. You need guidance. All of us do. I can't find my way if I don't listen to God. And if I don't listen to people around me too. A lot of times people see things that I don't see. And I've learned to listen better than I did when I was young. I'll guarantee you that. I believe that. I do. You better get it while you're young. You better get this. That's why God gave you godly people in your life. You that are here this morning, there's all kinds of people out here. You know, Daniel, these guys you work with, and these people that you, you know, a lot of you know elsewhere in the school. There's all kinds of them around that ain't got nobody in their life. And they're just turned out there, and whatever happens, happens. No guidance, no counsel, no godliness, no order, no direction, just like rolling dice. With their life and their heart. And you got so much more going for you. And the thing of it is, godly parents want you to be happy. I've told you kids that all through your life. You know, what I want for you is for you to be happy. I didn't raise you so I could keep you with me all my life. Kids grow up and kids get married and they have their own families, and that's life. And good parents raise their children and train them to be a good wife or a good husband, because that's where they're headed. I know that's where you're headed. But we just don't want you to mess up. Because this is the kind of grief that you get in your heart, in your life and in your heart, by just one little mistake. Just one little mistake leads to another. And then it just snowballs on you. And this is one area of life that you just can't mess with and mess up on. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, what I'm talking about? You better keep it pure. And you better get it in your mind that it's one person for your life when you're young. Don't think, well, I got two or three chances at it. Oh, no, no, no. You better not think that way. You better not think that way. So, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, the Bible says. Well, that kind of puts them in the same pot together, don't it? The way of a fool and every way of a man's right in his own eyes, that kind of makes us all fools if we just try to find our own way. And we refuse counsel. When you're making the greatest mistake of your life, that's the last thing I'm going to say. When you're making the greatest mistake of your life, I can assure you that you're going to be certain in your own heart that you're doing the right thing. Think about that. That's right. God does things different, y'all. When God is in something, the godly people will all agree. You listening to me? There'll be peace about it. There'll be... what am I trying to say? There'll be a consensus about it among godly people. Because Jesus said His sheep hear His voice. And they follow Him. And so they're in one accord in spiritual matters and discernment. And so why I'm saying that is this. You know, you girls, you get a little bigger and some boy comes along and oh, you just think he's the greatest thing in the world and it's just, oh, this is it, this is it. But dad's troubled and somebody else is that don't like it and it's just not, you know, something ain't right here. You better put on the brakes in a hurry. God's warning you. He's putting up the stops and saying, whoa. You just don't know how right that is. If it's right and God's in it, there'll just be an ease about everybody about it. That's right. Well, let's stand. Take a lesson from Abraham. Take a lesson from Sarah this morning. Sure, a lot of these people in the Bible that we read about that were such great people, they had this sin in their life. They messed up in this area. But you know, Abraham didn't... You know, we've got a lot more going for us than Abraham had for him in his day. Oh, I know God talked to him. He had a close walk with God and all that. Yeah. But man, we've got thousands of years of history. We've got all the testimonies of all the saints. We've got the written Word of God. We've got the Holy Ghost that lives in our body now. There's no excuse. We got their example and their testimony saying, don't do that. Look what it caused me. Look what it did to my life. Please, don't do that. Take note of my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. Don't walk in them. Don't use them for an excuse to ruin your life too. Oh Lord, I hope you'll take some advice this morning. I sure hope you'll listen. I don't know how to make it any clearer for you. And if you don't want to take my word for it, just go talking to some people that's got this mess in their life. And they'll tell you that, boy, that's right. You better be careful. You mess up, it's not the end of you. God doesn't throw you away. God will redeem you and He'll wash you and He'll take you in. But don't forget, there's consequences. And you don't want them. Man, they're bad. Bad, bad. There's so much more that I could say about Hagar and Ishmael. I mean, you just got to think on it. I've thought about this week and them, you know, the bitterness. And yet God spoke to Hagar the first time, then He spoke to her this time. That's unusual for God to speak to a woman in the Bible. Go looking for it in the Bible and see how many times you find it. Especially in that way. God is pretty amazing. Really, He is. Oh, I pray you'll listen. Let's bow. We'll have a word of prayer here. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for what You've given us here this morning. And Lord, I know that what I have said to these people is right on the mark, and it is true. And I just can't seem to make it plain enough. I wish I could, where it would reach into the hearts of these young girls and these other ones that are young and just ready. There's so much grief and regret that can be avoided by just listening to Your Word and trusting You and trusting those that are speaking for You and trying to help them. Lord, I just pray they'd have a blessed life and a blessed marriage one of these days and a family that's happy without all the grief and the regret and the shameful things that can be brought in that just are not, that don't belong there and cause all this trouble. Lord, speak to every heart now and bless Your Word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord.